You believe that, don't you?
See.
Did she say see?
Yes.
I was seeing. That's why I said she means that. Now, I wish everybody in this room would get that enthusiasm. Alan doesn't stomp his foot anymore. You know, you lost your zeal, lost that joy. How many of you have joy? Now, that song, Isaiah's going to sing it for the next 3 days. He loves that song. He runs around singing, I have the joy of the Lord in me. And I'm thinking, I wish everybody would sing that. I think we'd be better people, don't you? Go around and, you know, if it isn't true, keep singing it. It'll become true. Amen. See, that's what you have to do. You have to keep pressing in until it becomes true. Now, Holly, you can hear if you're writing. Put your pen and pencil down. I don't think you're taking notes. You might be taking notes, but not from me. If we're going to be in the house of God, then we have to learn about Jesus. All right? She could be sitting there saying, well, then why don't the grown-ups do the same thing? Learn while they're sitting in the house of God. Well, how many of you now understand the dark night of your soul? How many understand about the Job experience? And that's what we're going through. Well, we're going to learn some more again tonight. And everything's working fine. Teresa's not going to wrap her leg around the wire tonight. All right. Found out we went off track or something today. I thought, of all the times. How many of you know that God's ready to use you? I mean, really, he really is ready to use you. You have gone through the school, and now he's ready to use you. So it doesn't, you know, I don't care what you feel or you think. You told God, here I am, God, use me. And so he put you through the furnace of affliction, let you go through Job experiences more times you care to think about. He's been changing you and rearranging you for this hour. We don't have any more time to fool around. You know, Holly's sitting back here. But, you know, I'm reading where all over young kids her age and younger are prophesying and they are seeing healings occur. God is using the younger generation. So you younger kids need to quit living in the past and move into the future. Yeah, move into what God's doing right now. It's just not the same old anymore. God is going to use the younger kids, 3-4 years old, are out there laying hands on the sick and they're recovering. Come on. Us old folk didn't do it, so the young folk are going to do it. Amen. And then you're going to have the old folk like me with my whip saying you got to do it. Right? Isn't that what we're here for? God said we have to be here and instruct the younger people. So this is where we're at. And I don't know about you, but I'm excited with what God is doing, you know, in our homes. Aren't they a mess right now? Good Lord. Yeah. But everything's a mess before the good times come, right? And God has to yank all that junk out of everybody. And then once he gets it all out of everybody and everybody says, wow, I wish I'd done that a long time ago. Then God can start moving. All right. Are you having a problem? All right. I wanted to get it fixed before we start. Are you ready to learn more about the dark night of the soul? We need this more than we need anything else right now. A lot of Christians are falling because they don't understand what's going on in their lives. Well, Father, I thank you and I praise you. I give you all honor and all glory. Father, you know exactly who's going to be here tonight. You always do. And you know exactly what everyone has need of. So I'm asking you right now, Father God, to move upon your people. Change, rearrange. Do what you know they need done. Not what they think they need done, but what you know that they need done. And Father God, let us truly be a vessel of honor that you can pour new wine through. And we thank you for it. And Father God, as Barbara Alsap is traveling back home, I'm asking for safety for her in the airports or wherever, and bring her home safely to us. And Father, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, let me ask you a question before we start. Would you rather she move back a couple rows? Yeah, just move back a couple rows. All of you, move back a couple rows, because, see, she's going to be interpreting for you, and it's a little bit distracting. Go on. All of you, just right, that's fine. Just right in there. Go on. Come on. Your seat won't disappear. Isn't that better, Astrid? Oh, okay, she said. Well, I'm telling you, it's better. All right. And so you can't be worried about if you're disturbing somebody else and getting the message across to the people, all right? And I think it's exciting that Sister Astrid, you know, volunteered to do this for us, all right? See, when I talk to Astrid, I have to get an interpreter too. Because if she gets excited, I can't understand a thing she says. And I say, somebody please help me here. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. It's better to do that and walk away and say, what did she just say? How many of you have done that? All right, tonight we're going to talk faith in the dark night, all right? What is the dark night? I was going to do this morning, so this evening I would like to talk about what happens to our faith in the night seasons. Are we at the same page, Nancy? I've had her messed up with these things. All right, we understand that faith is simply being fully persuaded that God will do all that he has promised to do in his timing and in his way. Faith is simply being fully persuaded that God will do all that he has promised to do in his timing and in his way. You know, you guys don't understand what kind of a God you serve. You know, today a new affliction came upon my body in the afternoon, and you know, and I just went and sat down to my desk and just started crying. And the minute I started crying, he said, daughter, don't you go there. And then he started telling me I was called before the foundations of the earth, and he just started ministering to me, and I was just weeping. You know how it is. You just weep and weep because your father's so wonderful. And then I opened up my email, and there I had an email from somebody. It more or less just backed up what God just told me. And I cried some more. Because that's how good God is. Do you understand this? Even in your darkest hour, God is there to encourage you. We heard that this morning. But you guys need to witness that. You need to start having it happening in your lives. And when it starts happening in your lives, then you always say, oh. Your little light bulb goes on, you know, and then you start understanding exactly what God's doing in your life. Now, we also understand that God continually pushes us to the limit in order to strengthen our faith and transform us into his image. Let's read that again. We also understand that God continually pushes us to the limit in order to strengthen our faith and transform us into his image. When we willingly allow God to purge our souls of sin and self, he can very easily accomplish his will. When? So you have a part to play here. However, when we block and prevent God from doing these things in our lives, either out of ignorance and disobedience, he sometimes will take matters into his own hands. Example is the night seasons. So why are we going through the night seasons? Why are we going through the Job seasons? It really wasn't anything that we've done. The Job season is just for God to strengthen us and to encourage us, and that we know that we know. Like Job said, I heard you, but now I know you. The dark night or the night season is simply the transition we make from depending upon our own sight and our own selves to a total dependence upon Christ and his faithfulness. This shift brings us into a new day of knowing God. During this time, God moves us from simply feeling good about Him to a deeper awareness of Him and an intimacy never before known. Just what I experienced today, you know, He was right there. He was right there. And I said, don't you go there. He didn't even let me say anything. He loves me. And that proved me right. I mean, I already know this, but if I didn't, that would prove me right then and there that my Father is right there for me at every given second. And He never leaves me nor forsakes me. Even when I'm acting foolish, He never leaves me, you know, when I'm doing dumb stuff. He never leaves me, nor does He ever forsake me. Don't you think that sometimes God just looks down at you and says, come on now, get over it and move on. He does do that. He watches us. And He tells us, sometimes He takes you to the woodshed, right? And then you wish you would learn without the woodshed experience. Although we already belong to Christ and we already love Him, our union with Him will be incomplete as long as our mind, our judgment, our desires, our habits, and our ideas are still our own. God wants to rid us of our preoccupation with sight and feelings and bring us into a freedom and liberty of faith. Unfortunately, this freeing process does not happen automatically. Most of us do not jump for joy when faced with the prospects of brokenness. Naturally, most of us run the other direction. But God loves us so much that He doesn't let us get very far. Aren't you glad He trips you up every now and then? Aren't you glad He grabs you by the nape of your neck and said, get it together, you know? The dark night is God's way of turning us around. The dark night is God's way of turning us around and forcing us to allow Him to do whatever is necessary in our lives to purge our souls and spirits so that we can have intimate fellowship with Him. So the dark night is God's way of turning us around and forcing us to allow Him to do whatever is necessary in our lives to purge Him. Alan, would you please give this to Grace? It hasn't been opened. And I know Aaron went to get her one, but he can't find them, I guess. God is not a mean guy up in heaven waiting to send us bad things. A lot of people believe that. He is a loving Father who knows exactly what we need in order to accomplish His will in our lives. Excuse me. Well, my water's sitting right down there. He knows that we will never be content, never enjoy real freedom, and never be truly fulfilled until we are one with Him. Let's read that again. God is not a mean guy up in heaven waiting to send us bad things. He is a loving Father who knows exactly what we need in order to accomplish His will, thank you, in our lives. Now, did you get that in your spirit? You just didn't look at the screen and see nothing, did you? You saw something and it went into your spirit. God knows that we will never be content, never enjoy real freedom, and never be truly fulfilled until we are one with Him. And that is the truth. We have to be one with God in order to be content. Now, this little story we're going to tell, we've heard the story over and over again, but I want us to listen to it carefully this time and listen to what it's saying. A man found a cocoon of an emperor moth. He took it home so that he could watch the moth come out of the cocoon. On the day a small opening appeared, he sat and watched a moth for several hours as the moth struggled to force its body through that little hole. Then it seemed to stop making any progress. It appeared as if it had gotten as far as it could, and it could go no further. It just seemed to be stuck. How many of us feel that way sometime? The man, in his kindness, decided to help the moth. And how many of us decide to help you? All right? So the man took a pair of scissors and snipped off the remaining bit of the cocoon. The moth then emerged easily, but it had a swollen body and small shriveled wings. The man continued to watch the moth because he expected that at any moment the wings would enlarge and expand to be able to support the body, which would then contract. Neither happened. In fact, the little moth spent the rest of its life crawling around with a swollen body and shriveled wings. It never was able to fly. Now, what the man in his kindness and haste did not understand was that the restricting cocoon and the struggle required for the moth to get through the tiny opening were God's way of forcing fluid from the body of the moth into its wings so that it would be ready for flight once it achieved its freedom from the cocoon. So, with the moth, freedom and flight would come only after the struggle. By depriving the moth of the struggle, he deprived the moth of health. Sometimes struggles are exactly what we need in our life in order to make us all that God desires. If God allowed us to go through our life without obstacles, it would cripple us. Now, this is what we do with people. We see them struggling in their walk with God, as we try to make it easy for them. We take away that's I'll call it a safety zone that God has placed them in so they can struggle and, you know, get to know God better. We take that away from them and say, well, come on now, you don't have to go through all that. Yeah, they do have to go through all that. You do have to go through your dark night so that you can be all that God has called you for to be. I don't know about you, but I am so glad that God gives me tests and trials. I'm so glad he just doesn't let me just zip through life, never learning anything, never increasing my faith, never learning, you know, how to flex my muscles. I'm not a Christian that just wants to fly, you know, just sort of get by. I want to be all that God's called me to be. And that means warfare. And I don't want anybody to try to take my warfare away from me. You know, in other words, make it easy. I have to walk down a certain path if I'm going to be what God has called me to be, and you do too. Each one of our paths are different. No one path is the same. So don't try to tell somebody else how to walk their walk. You keep your nose on your face, let them walk their walk, and you walk your walk, and you pray. If you think they need help, pray for them. All right, different labels for the dark night. This night season has been given several names. The dark night of the soul, the dark night of the spirit, night of confusion, Jacob's ladder, a secret ladder. The night season, the divine darkness, journey into the desert, Job's experience or Job's night season, the winter months. Remember how God tells us don't die in the winter months? He doesn't mean December, January, February. He doesn't mean that. He means in when you have you're going through your trials and your tribulations. Or it's called the cloud of unknowing. It's called a wall, and God's fire of love. If you read, this is what you're going to find. All right, a night of love. Let's call the dark night a night of love. The dark night is a night of love because it's a time in which we come to know and perceive our Father in a way we never have before. Our initial surrender to God usually comes before we understand what abandoning ourselves to His will really means. Here I am, use me, use me, use me. You don't know what you're saying. I didn't know what I was saying. Well, when I said, God, what is this? He said, I heard you when you said, use me. And this comes along with it. So once you say to God, use me, the battle begins. You're in a struggle. It's in a tug of war. God wants you. The devil wants you. And God told me it's up to you who wins this struggle. It's that goes with every one of you. Who is going to win the tug of war? What do you really want out of life? What is really important to you? That's who's going to win, your flesh or God? Okay. Before we understand that he must not only purge the sin from our souls, but also crucify our own self-centered ways. Before we understand what abandoning ourselves to his will really means, before we understand that he must not only purge the sin from our souls, but also crucify our own self-centered ways. When we first come to Christ and are saved, we are positionally united with him. But we really don't know him intimately. I didn't know God intimately. I didn't even know you could talk to him. I didn't even know there was a Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit when I first got saved. I didn't know all that. So how can I be intimate with something I didn't understand or know? Right? All right, when we first come to Christ and are saved, we are positionally united with him, but we really don't know him intimately. And what did Job tell God? In Job 42:5, Job said, "In the past I heard about you, but now I have seen you with my own eyes." I'm telling you, this dark night, if you'll really watch what's going on in your life, you are being drawn closer to God than you ever have. You might think, well, I'm close. But you're being drawn closer than you were before it started. God is purging you of all the junk that's in you that's not of him. He's bringing circumstances your way to make you stop and look at what you're really doing and what life is all about. And he wants change out of you. There is a deeper and more abiding union and intimate oneness with him that he desires for every one of us, where we can experience his presence and his joy and rest in the midst of any circumstance. Now tell me something. What has God been calling us to do? Come up higher, come into the third heaven, and sup with me. He's trying to get us to be intimate with him. And the only way we can really do that is if we just let all the circumstances that are just screaming at you to get your attention, we just let all that go by the way and shut your eyes and say, God, it's just you and me. It's just you and me. And shut out all the clamor and all the noise. Be like Teresa, when I start, she just goes out of the room. She shuts out all the clamor and all the noise. You see what I'm saying? But how many people do that? They just keep on with the clamor and the noise and they never, ever get alone with God where they can become intimate with him. This intimate union does not happen automatically, but only as we become more and more sanctified or holy in body, soul, and spirit. And God's been working in us with all of this stuff. And yet, whenever he said, we are ready right now to be used by him, there might be a few things he has to shave off of you or peel off you or however you want to say it, but he's ready to use you. And once he takes you into that deepness of him, you won't even think about what these other little things are that's been holding you back. They just won't mean anything to you. In other words, in order to enter into the holy place of our hearts, where God dwells and enjoy intimacy with him, we too must first become holy as he is holy. He's been calling us to be holy too as he is holy. Holiness is the only ticket inward. God cannot commune and fellowship with anyone who is not holy and sanctified. Come on. There are holy people who have to fight the enemy. And while you're fighting the enemy, you're the temptations. And while you're fighting the enemy, you don't leave God in his intimacy. You go to him and you cry out and ask him to come and let him become more intimate with you. And as he becomes more intimate with you, he draws you into a secret place that nobody can touch you. Nobody. I found myself lately saying, God, I love you and you're holy and you're pure. And I said, but I need you to love me more. I just need you to draw me to your bosom. I can't quite seem to escape this darkness. I need you to come and pull me into your bosom. Because sometimes we're weak, we're beat down, and we know what to do, but we just can't quite get there. So then you ask God to come. And I'm telling you, he will come and meet you every time. He really will. But you're going to have to invite him in. God said the Holy Spirit is a gentleman, and he won't intrude. He's waiting for you to invite him in, and then he'll do what needs to be done. All right? Where am I at here? Yeah, I just can't find this place here. Before what? Psalm 18. All right, holiness is the only ticket inward. I know I said this. God cannot commune in fellowship with anyone who is not holy and sanctified. God often dwells in darkness and covers himself with darkness. Psalm 18:11 tells us that darkness is his secret place. And 1 Kings 8:12 says the Lord said that he would dwell in the thick darkness. So, all right, let's read 1 Kings. 1 Kings 8:12, then Solomon spoke. God has told us that he lives in the dark where no one can see him. So when God has you in a dark place, guess who's there with you? You can't see him, but he's there with you. And he's keeping you from sinking deep into the mire. He's holding on to you and just pulling you forward. If you can't walk, he's pulling you forward with him until you get out of that dark place. All right, this means that in our journey inward towards intimacy and experiential oneness with Jesus, we can also encounter darkness. We not only can, we will. Because the enemy's going to meet you there too, and the enemy does not want you to go into that intimate place. All right. For us, this darkness can simply mean the absence of any understanding or knowledge as to what's happening to us or where we are going. And we all know we've been there. We still might be there. It simply means being deprived of the light, the seeing, the feeling, and the understanding that we are so used to. In other words, we're unable to see through this kind of darkness with our own natural mind, which, of course, is exactly what God intends. He is teaching us to walk by faith and not by feelings or sight. As our faith begins to grow, the light of understanding will also begin to form. I found this lesson to be so true. The more faith in Jesus that I can have during the dark times, the more I'm able to see him and the more understanding he gives me. And so through this Job experience, I haven't once, asked God to take it away from me. I haven't asked him why. I've just allowed him to do what he wants to do because I know it's taken me deeper into his bosom. And I know when he's finished, I'm going to be all that he wants me to be, right? And this is not fun. It wasn't fun for Jesus to go up Calvary's Hill either. I just heard that's why I said that. It wasn't fun, like when he sweated great drops of blood. He knew the pain and the agony he was going to have to endure with the beatings and everything else. Nobody in their right mind wants to do that. But he submitted himself to a Father who loves him. And said, not thy will, but mine be, not my will, but your will be done. And what did he say on the cross right before he died? Father, why have thou forsaken me? He knew God was with him, but he was in such deep agony, and the darkness was so great within him that he said those words, just like John the Baptist said, are you truly the Messiah? So, why do we think that we're not going to do that? Why do we beat ourselves over the head when we do dumb things? You have to know what Jesus did. You have to read the Bible and you have to see what the disciples did. You have to see how they reacted to their situations. All right? A lot of people think they can never make it until they give up and quit and eventually go to hell. Don't do that. Jesus went down the same path you went down. He was a forerunner. He showed you you can go down those dark places and still survive. All right? In Psalm 112, 4 says, unto the upright there riseth light in the darkness. We will see the light in the darkness. And when we're in this dark season, we will see the light of God. We will know that He's there. I mean, many times, you know, when I was laying in bed by myself, all of a sudden this bright light would appear, and I, you know, in my vision, and I knew God was saying, I'm with you. I'm right here. Keep on going. We all need that. We all need a sign, but we all need to know that God is with us. He hasn't left us nor forsaken us. I read an article the other day where this lady was saying something about electricity was going all through her body, and she heard the swish of a sword. And I told Teresa one day, I said, you know, honey, I said, I feel like electricity is going through my body. I just, you know, it just went through my different areas, which I was being shocked. And I said, I don't understand what this is. But I can't remember what, this girl was having that too. I just read that the other day. But I can't remember what she said about it. I tried to find it and couldn't. But, you know, stop and see what God's doing in your body. I mean, this was a wonderful thing God was doing to this young lady. You'd start paying attention. And just don't boo-hoo it away, say, that's nothing. Yes, it's something. Everything you go through, God is showing you something. We have to be more spiritual. We have to be more intimate with God, knowing that He is trying to teach us something, not to hurt us, but He's trying to bless us. And we're too dumb to receive that, right? All right, so Psalm, we read Psalm 112, verse 4, unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. This darkness then does not come from the enemy, but from God who loves us. God is the one who initiates the darkness. Didn't He initiate the darkness with Job? Sure did. Satan go and take him. He initiated it. He gave him permission to do it. Remember Isaiah 50:10, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Now don't misunderstand me. Satan is often involved when difficult things occur in our lives. And he rejoices when we react poorly to God's chastening, cleansing, and purifying process. And what God allows in our lives for good, Satan obviously wants to use to destroy us. So yes, the enemy is definitely involved in the night season, but he is not always responsible for sending the darkness. All right? Jesus had His own dark night. All throughout the New Testament, we are told that we are to keep our eyes focused on Jesus because He is our example. The Apostle Peter makes this fact very plain in 1 Peter 2:21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps. Jesus is not only our Savior, our Lord, and our King, but also our role model. He walked the Christian walk perfectly. He showed us how it should be done. Again, we will never be able to walk it perfectly as He did, but Scripture tells us we are to emulate or try to follow Him. Because of this truth, how can we overlook Jesus' own dark night in the Garden of Gethsemane? I don't think that the majority of Christians ever think about when you're going through a dark night that Jesus went through one in the garden. And I also believe that, you know, whenever the disciples wouldn't stay awake and pray with Him, that was a dark night for Him. These are my friends. We've been walking together and working together, and they won't even stay awake and pray with me. That had to be hard. It's hard when your friends don't come alongside you and help you. And if you say it isn't, well, thank God. Come on. Again, is that where I'm at? No. As one writer says, Gethsemane was a dark night of the soul for Jesus Christ. It was a test of his ways. Jesus is not only our God, he is also our mentor, our leader, and our guide. And we must be willing to follow him wherever he leads. The way Jesus became perfect, complete, or fulfilled is by suffering. And remember, I wanted to go away to Bible school when I first got saved, but God said, no, I don't want you in Bible school. I don't want you to learn man's doctrines. I want you to be taught by the Holy Spirit. And this is what God wants for each one of us tonight, to be taught by the Holy Spirit. Give the Holy Spirit full permission to do whatever he needs to do to you to get you to the place that God is trying to get you. It says he will lead and guide and direct us in all of our ways. Isn't that what it says? If Jesus had to go through suffering in his own dark night, then it's reasonable that this will be our role also. We don't look at the Bible like that, do we? In Jesus' painful night in Luke 22:44 tells us that sorrow and deep distress so marked Jesus' inner spirit that he actually sweated drops of blood. No one was ever called to greater suffering. Mark 14:34 tells us that he exclaimed, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death." The magnitude of Jesus' agony is beyond our understanding. Come on. And when I was really sick with the COVID, I laid in that bed and I said, God, forgive me for being such a baby, because you're not asking me to get at the whipping post. You're not asking me to walk up Calvary's Hill half dead. You're not asking me to hang on a cross. You're just asking me to have faith in you, that you have me in the palm of your hands. I repented a lot when I was sick. Because I didn't see Jesus do all the dumb stuff I was doing. He was strong, and he endured. And God tells us that if you're a Christian, you will suffer. A lot of pastors don't want to hear that. It's in the Word. You will suffer. When the revelation of what Jesus was about to endure became fully apparent, he fell on his face and prayed in Luke 22:42, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." He didn't want to go through that. Some of us don't quite say that, but we say shorten this night season. You know, we don't want to go through the things. We don't want to carry out some that fulfill the assignments God gives us, because some of them are hard. And some of the assignments we get, they take away, it seems like it takes away our freedom. And we're trying to help somebody else learn more about Christ. And so we have to suffer, quietly suffer. Not saying, well, look what I have to endure just to be a witness to you. That isn't right. Jesus' life had been bartered for a murderer's life, and that was Barabbas. He had been outwardly despised, rejected, reviled. Let's go over that again. Now look, this is what Jesus was. He had been outwardly despised, rejected, reviled, crushed, oppressed, afflicted, mocked, taunted, and now he was to be crucified. You've gone through some of that, haven't you, Grace? Everybody in this room who's truly following God, you've gone through those things. But you didn't go through it right. You went through it saying, oh, poor me. But now we know better, don't we? We aren't going to fuss anymore when we have to go through all that stuff, are we? We're going to know that God has us in a dark night, not to destroy us, but to make us stronger for the things we're going to have to encounter and to endure to bring in the harvest. No loving heart came forward to help Jesus. His disciples were asleep. Not one person was true to him. You know, I'm sorry, but sometimes when you're in a dark night, nobody's going to care. Well, I wonder what they did to be in the mess they're in. Nobody's really going to care. But then on the other hand, too, there's a whole lot of people who care that you don't even know about. So you need to quit fussing because nobody cares, and you just need to thank God he has people out there that he has praying for you. One time years ago, God said to me, "Daughter, I have people all over the world who know your name and who are praying for you daily." I thought, that's awesome. Isn't that awesome? All over the world, just not in Delaware, who knows my name and pray for me daily. Don't you think that's happening to you too? God said, there's that there wild man named Alan out there in Delaware. Please lift him up. You know what I'm saying? God has us covered, and God tells us that. I'm working behind the scenes. I have your back. You just keep moving forward. Do we believe that? Some don't. If you really believed that, you wouldn't be acting the way you are. Finally, Jesus' dark night culminated at the cross of Calvary. When the Romans put him on the cross, thick darkness cut him off, and he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And that's in Mark 15:34. When the Romans put him on the cross, thick darkness cut him off from God, and he cried out. And how many of you in these dark seasons, when you're, let's say your Job experience or the dark season, you feel like sometimes, God, are you even there? Huh? Isn't that true? Yeah. Because you're just perplexed. You don't know what's going on. And you just can't see a light anywhere. And you say, God, are you there? I don't say, are you there? Because I know he's, I said, well, are you finished with me now? Have I done, you know, I mean ministry-wise, have I done something to really upset you that I'm going through this? It seemed that at the very moment Jesus needed his Father the most, God had left him. And Matthew 27:50 tells us, it was then that Jesus yielded up his spirit, and the temple veil of the Holy of Holies was rent from the top down. Jesus endured what no other man has ever had to endure. But as a result of the gift of his life, his blood has atoned for the sins of all mankind. You know, sometimes you might think, they're my friend. Why aren't they here with me? Why aren't they, you are crying with me? Or why aren't they here visibly praying with me? They're praying with you where God wants them to be praying with you. You don't need them by you. You need God. And God wants you to quit reaching out wanting flesh, and he wants you to reach out and wanting him. Only Jesus' faith allowed him to survive the garden and the cross. His total commitment to his Father, who Jesus knew was there even though he could not see or feel him, is what saved him. His mission was complete. Because of his death, anyone who accepts his free gift of salvation now has full access to the Father at any time. The result of Jesus' dark night is eternal life for all of us. Do you know that Jesus is there no matter what you're going through? When Brother Brett, whenever he got sick, God told him, you have to go through this. I'm not going to perform a miracle and heal you. You're going to have to walk through it, and then you're going to write a book to show others how to walk through it. There's a purpose for his sickness, and there's a purpose because there's no miracle happening. But we covet your prayers. Everybody covets prayers because you can feel those prayers. I can, and I know Brad can. You can feel people praying for you. And it does lighten the load. Isaiah 53 is one of the most incredible chapters in the Bible. Although it was written 6 centuries before Christ died and translated into Greek 3 centuries before he walked the shores of Galilee, it describes Jesus' dark night in perfect detail. Isaiah 53 foretells us exactly what would happen when the Messiah came. He would be despised, rejected, a man of many sorrows, acquainted with grief, wounded, bruised, oppressed, afflicted, cut off, exactly what Jesus had to endure. And what did we say? It was written 6 centuries before Christ lived, and translated into Greek 3 centuries before he walked the shores of Galilee. It describes Jesus. When I was first born again, I was in this church, and I said, this is telling about Jesus. And the pastor said, it is not. I said, well, yes, it is, because God told me it was. Well, she made me leave the service that day because I was speaking, I'll say, blasphemy. But I went home, and I thought, I know, God, you said that's about Jesus. And then, you know, as I read my word, and it is about Jesus. They didn't know it. It wasn't that I didn't know it. They didn't know it, and they've been at it a long time. I wasn't even at it yet. I'm just born again. But they were at it for a long time, and after all, they knew the word. You see what I'm saying? You can't let people push you around. Just go home and just act like you're stupid and just go on home and let God keep telling you things. All right, in verses 4 through 6, in verse 8, Isaiah continues his accurate description. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. He was taken from prison and from judgment, for he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And that's everything that Jesus went through before he ever came to the earth. They were talking about him. Then in verse 10, Isaiah's words are absolutely astonishing. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. In other words, out of his infinite love for us, God used the way of suffering to accomplish his will, which is salvation for all mankind. You know, guys, come on, your dark night is for somebody else. What you're going through is going to help somebody else. It really is not all about you. It's about your testimony of how wonderful and powerful your Father is. In like manner, God deals with us. He uses the way of suffering to accomplish his will, the sanctification of our body, soul, and spirit. Are you willing to endure a night season so God can accomplish his ultimate purpose through your life? Do you love God that much? In his tape, Experiencing God, Henry Blackaby suggests that when we read Isaiah 53, we should ask ourselves, am I willing to allow each one of the things that happened to Jesus to occur in my own life? And y'all know that one time I was complaining, and God said, once you get in the Word, read all the red letters and see what they did to my son Jesus. When you're finished reading it, then you come back to me and we'll talk about this. I never went back for the conversation. And God knew I wouldn't. Are you understanding that? Because I said, look at everything Jesus suffered for me, and I'm complaining about this little thing? I'm not going to go before the Father and do that dumb thing. I just kept walking. That's all we can do is just keep walking. And that's all that God wants, because God keeps saying, "What? Just keep walking. Don't sit down. Don't quit." All right, so I said, am I willing to allow each one of the things that happened to Jesus to occur in my own life? If we are, then, praise God, he will see to it that eventually we will experience a oneness and a unity with him that we have never known before. If you're willing to walk the way Jesus did, then you will become one with God. However, if we are not willing to allow these things to happen in our lives because we want our lives to be under our own control, then we'll have to remain where we are and, like that moth, be deprived of health, fulfillment and intimacy with God the rest of our lives. It's our own moment-by-moment choice. I'm hoping that these, I think I'm going to teach one more on Wednesday night. I hope that these are helping you to understand that God's trying to make us more like Jesus. He's trying to strengthen us through the trials and the tribulations, the dark nights of our soul, or our Job experience, whatever. He's trying to strengthen us and make us strong towers that others can run into. Well, let me reword that. We are strong towers. But this Job experience, we were thrown into it, and it got us all befuddled. And God is clarifying things so we understand, oh, okay, God, I am a warrior, but you're strengthening me, and you're making me a warrior that the enemy will never, ever be able to back down again. All right? It's our own moment-by-moment choice whether we endure the dark nights of our souls, or if we just back off and say, I'm not going to do what Jesus did. Today when I was crying to you, and God, he immediately interrupted me, and he said, daughter, you were before the foundations of the world, and you still are my daughter, and I'm still going to do all that I promised you. He didn't have to come and visit me at that very moment. He did not. And he didn't have to send me the email to confirm it that he did. That's the Father that I serve. What kind of Father do you serve? Why do you get all offended just because somebody doesn't talk to you right, or, you know, do what you want them to do? And, you know, don't you ever understand that God is in those type of things? You want somebody to do something, and God said, no, they don't need that right now. They need to be where I have them right now. Then you get all in a twit, and you walk off, and you talk about people, and see, that's not God. You just failed your little night season. Now you're going to have to go through a stronger night season. Yeah, God will show you. So go ahead and go through the easy one. Because believe me, the next one's going to be harder. I've had 40 years of night seasons. I'm going to tell you, they do get harder. You think, boy, nothing can be worse than this. Well, you just said the wrong thing. Because here comes your next night season, harder than the one you just went through. And you think there's nothing that can outdo this. You don't know God. God can do anything he wants to do, and he sure does. You're going to know he's God when he's finished. And in fact, God said that one time. He said, when he's finished, we're going to know who God is, really is. Some of you think you're fooling around. Well, you know what? You have just got yourself in the biggest mess you ever wanted to get into. You just might as well go ahead and just yield to God and let God do what he wants to do in your life. And go through your night season. Learn what you have to learn quickly. And move on to the next night season. God's trying to grow you up. He's trying to make you stronger than you were even yesterday. Satan's going to make sure that you fail your tests. Because he's going to come at you with everything he has. And if you're weak, you're going to give in. So God's showing him, hey, they're not going to give in. They're my child. And I can give them to you because they're not going to stop. It doesn't matter what you do to them. They're not going to stop. So you see, a Job experience is a good thing because God's letting you see how much he loves you and how strong you really are. Because some of us need a Job experience to understand how strong we really are. Now, are you ready? Are you ready just to let God take you through any dark night that he wants to take you through? And stop your complaining. You know, everybody said to me, this isn't right what you're going through. This isn't right what you're going through. And I'm sort of agreeing in my mind, but, you know, I said, I have to go through it. And I can, well, the disciples didn't want Jesus to go through what he had to go through either. But, Jesus said, you don't understand. And the body of Christ still does not understand. What do you think it did to God if somebody were to take Gabriel there and you want to beat him with those whips and then make him carry that cross up a hill and hang him on that, do you think I'd have liked that? Do you think I'd get any enjoyment out of that? God didn't like it, and he didn't get any enjoyment out of watching it, but he had to watch it. Because Jesus had to fulfill the calling on his life. God doesn't like to see you go through dark nights. He really doesn't. But he knows what it takes to get you to be so strong that the enemy can't tear you down. Amen. I'm hearing God say, this night season two shall pass. And when it does, you have to ask yourself, how did I fare in this night season? Did you get an A? Did you get a D? How did you fare? Only you and God know. And anybody else that God shows will know, but it's between you and God, not anybody else. And you need not look at somebody else and say, well, they're not going through their night season too good. How do you know what's really going on? You don't see them. You aren't with them 24/7. You don't know what's in their mind. God does. And sometimes you, the person that's going through it, don't understand either, right? And so, you know, how does somebody else expect to be able to understand what you're going through? All we're called to do is love one another. Not judge one another, love one another. Quit nitpicking. You're unique. And some of you are really unique. I was really complaining about 2 months ago, and God said, daughter, I want you to be quiet, and I want to ask you a question. He said, what did I tell you I was going to send into the church? I really didn't want to answer that, because then I had to shut up. He told me, I'm going to send in all the rebels. I'm going to send in people that nobody else wants to deal with. I'm going to send in the drug addicts, and the prostitutes, the whoremongers, and those you're going to bring forth so I can use them for my kingdom. So what am I complaining? I'm complaining against God, right? He already told me from day one what he was going to send in our way. But he has to remind me every now and then, or I have to remind myself. That day he reminded me, but every now and then I have to say, no, this is what God said, so I got to stop being stupid. And really, truly, if whenever you become a leader, and you're already a leader, and God gives you your little sheep to take care of, and you look back, and it's, say, a year later, and you just look at how they have grown, you just sit there and smile, you know. Don't bust your buttons off your shirt, because sometimes I say, God, isn't that awesome? You're so awesome. Look what you did to that person. But they might have been in another church, and those people didn't understand them, so they shunned them. But God doesn't let me shun. He lets me rant and rave to him. You know, he said, just watch. Just be still and just watch. 10 years later, I'm still watching. I said that because Alan said it was 10 years, took him 10 years. Now I'm not still watching. I just know that God is in control. Do you know that God's in control of your life? He wants you to think about this right now. Do you know, without a shadow of a doubt, that God is in control of your life? I want you to think about that. You're going to have to know that if you're going to destroy the enemy. You're going to have to know that everything you go through, God has allowed it. There was a purpose for what God allowed in your life. Are you going to let him accomplish that purpose? Or are you still going to fight him? Some of you have to change. That's just the bottom line. If you really want the blessing God has promised you, you're going to have to change. You can change. When I told him one time I couldn't do it, he said, yes, you can. You just don't want to. So you can change. You just don't want to. You enjoy who you are and what you are. So quit making excuses. You know, you know, God promised you something and it didn't come to pass at the time he promised. You need to stop and think. You don't blame the other person. God, what is it in me that I didn't do that you couldn't give me the gift that you wanted to give me? Are you listening? See, right now, my constant prayer is, what am I doing wrong that the glory hasn't come in all of its fullness? And then my next thing is, I want to show you how our minds work. God, when I first started, it was just me and you and the Holy Spirit, nobody else. And then I said, now I've got people around me, you know, full staff. And what am I doing wrong that the glory isn't coming? I'm not doing nothing wrong. It's just not God's timing for the food. And I'm not making excuses. If God told me we missed it, I would tell you we missed it. But God is still doing some processing, and it's just not the right time. All right? So don't go around there blaming yourself and acting like, you know, some spoiled little kid. Some of you are in your ministries and don't even know it. And I do know that I'm in my second phase in another 40 years. And I do know that God's glory is here. And I do know that God is doing works in people. And I do know that people are starting to notice us. Do you know for sure of heart that all that stuff, you know, whatever's going on in your life? God can't bless you if you don't know. Is that the right time? I'm past 8:30, aren't I? I'm sorry. See, God wants you tonight to know that you know that you know that God's hand is upon you and he's already started to use you. And the enemy's trying to blind you to that fact. Yeah, I'm going to, with Brother Allen, God told him to get alone and he would speak to him and then he would give a confirmation through me. But God did a deliverance on him all by himself. And when I saw him in church the next time, the man was totally changed. The glory of God was on him. You know, he wasn't expecting that. I wasn't expecting that. But God knew what he was going to do with him. Now see, God wants to do that with all of you. You know, if some of you in here aren't sure of what God's doing with you, stay the course. Stay in your dark night until it's over. And let God just move. Some of you need just little baby steps. If God just did the thing to you, it'd kill you. So, you know, he's doing it the way you need to have it done. Step by step by step. And God told us, do one day at a time, not two. One foot in front of the other, and one foot in front of the other, until you have accomplished what I've called you to do. I'm not going to prophesy to you tonight. God gave you a teaching here, and he wants you to go home and think about your life. Do I really know that I belong to Jesus? And if you can answer honestly, yes, I do, then the enemy can't have you because you belong to Jesus. All right? Thank you, Holly, honey, for listening tonight. You really did. And I hope you learned something. Jay did too. She was all ears back there. I you know, I love you young kids. I really do. Because I know what God's trying to do through you. But see, you have to be like the grown-ups. You have to yield. And you parents, you have to train your kids. You have to help God mold them. You know, it's hard for these kids to understand how to live life. You're older and you still don't know how to live life, but yet you're expecting your kids to know what to do. All right? But God wants to train you kids. He wants to teach you. He doesn't want your parents to teach you. Oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that. You kids would take that and run with that. No, he wants the Holy Spirit to fall upon you, and he wants the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct you. And don't become rebellious with your parents, please. But call on the Holy Spirit and ask him, come into my being and lead me in the path of righteousness. And then just let God lead you. You know, your parents and grandparents and great-grandparents, you have a work to do to help God train these children? You have to be listening for God's voice and doing the things God's calling you forth to do.